the NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe now for all of the action from the best conference in college hockey. The University of Georgia, building the foundations of something bigger. Go to UGAHockey.com to find out how you can be a part of it on and off the ice. Jets Pizza, we're not just pizza. Try our sidekick salads and calzones at JetsPizza.com. Adrian College, championship aspirations on the ice and in the classroom. For more information, go to AdrianBulldogs.com/MHockeyD1. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos from coast to coast and beyond. Wherever you need to be, Caesars has a destination that suits your style. Central Oklahoma University Hockey. Go to UCOHockey.com to follow the two-time ACHA M1 National Champions as they look to add that third championship banner to the rafters. The Spaghetti Shack. ASU alumni owned and operated at thespaghettishack.com. University of Mary. Tickets and schedule information, visit goumary.com. The Caesars Sportsbook app, where every play earns you Caesars rewards towards dining, tickets, VIP experiences, and more. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, award-winning barbecue for your next catered event at jesseraysbarbecue.com. College Hockey Coast to Coast from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
All right, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be joining us this Monday evening on the Podbean app. Indeed, it is College Hockey Coast to Coast. Scott Strandy with you tonight Palm Springs, California, on my way, moving east, on my way to St. Louis. My co-host is going to join me shortly, I hope. But in the meantime, we got great stuff going on tonight. We've got a double dose of Sarah Torres. And I do mean that in a very good way. As we had an interview this afternoon with Tom Ceratori, the head coach at Bemidji State University. And in about 2 minutes, we're going to connect with the head coach from the Air Force Academy, Frank Ceratori, and get his thoughts on where things are as they get ready to enter play in the Atlantic Hockey Conference. So we'll get going with that in just a second as we wait for Paul to come on. Hopefully he's not too far away. So anyway, lots of good stuff happening in college hockey because it's almost playoff time. So we'll dig into all of that good stuff and take it from there. So as we take a quick break, when I get on here with Coach Ceratori from Air Force, we will take it from there. But anyway, as I babble on, I sound like I'm babbling. It's been a crazy day, folks. I've been moving around, turning from spot to spot, and really just trying to find a spot. So anyway, I have found a spot. I am on. I think my co-host is joining me. Beautiful palatial estate out on Long Island, New York. Paul, I've been on now for a couple of minutes. I got you on. Right. I'm going to call Frank Ceratori, get him on. And okay. We're going to get this show rocking and rolling. So give me about a minute and a half to connect, okay?
No, it's not a problem. I got to just talk about 5-game losing streaks on the road so that certain people we know, it's the NHL. You lose 5 games in a row on the road, that happens, especially at the end. But, you know, make the playoffs. That's all that matters. Your team in the NHL. So a very interesting weekend. I want to say, because I know that he'll eventually catch up to this, congratulations to our buddy and part of the Frank Ceratori coaching tree, Derek Schooley, with a nice upset win over the weekend in Bentley in the first round of the Atlantic Hockey Tournament. Showing a lot of poise, losing a 3-1 lead in the third period.
All right, Paul. Holding on and coming on.
Right. Well, I'm just complimenting his protege, Derek Schooley.
Okay, well, hold on a minute.
On their overtime win.
Let me introduce him first.
Okay.
We've got the head coach from the Air Force Academy, Frank Ceratori, with us. Coach Scott and Paul with you. Thanks for staying on a little later with us tonight as I am traveling from California to St. Louis for the ACHA tournament. You have a big series coming up this weekend, but before we get into that, I had a chance to watch one of your former players, a two-year captain, I think, and Luke Rowe, make his professional debut. And Coach, I told him last night, I said, Luke, it seems seamless. He said, oh, I don't know about that. But what a performance last night.
Couldn't be happier. I mean, he's an easy guy to root for. He's a substance guy. He's just such a good, he's an all-American boy filled with substance, a great teammate. And then, of course, you know, he's got movie star looks. He's got personality, and he's got a game to back it up. I mean, if he wasn't such a good guy, we'd all be jealous of him, you know?
Exactly, Coach.
Well, we might be anyway.
Coach, can you explain to us how he ended up becoming a professional hockey player now, right as you enter the meat of your postseason?
Well, the academy, you have to graduate in a certain amount of semesters. And he had a semester off during COVID. And so he got that semester back in the fall. And the academy wouldn't let him have a ninth semester. And which is ridiculous in some ways, because with what's going on in the collegiate landscape, if he was playing at Colorado College or Denver or any traditional school, not only would he have the end of this year, he would have had another year of eligibility. But that's not the ground rules that we play presently play under here at the academy. Now, he qualified under the pro sports policy that was implemented in the Trump administration, and he qualified for that. Our seniors are the last ones, I think, that qualify for that. The other ones all, when Trump was voted out of office, the rules changed, and there is no pro policy right now, and so he's benefiting from something that was he grandfathered into from the last administration.
Okay, makes sense.
It's dumb, Paul, go ahead. Well, it's dumb, but you know, I mean, you're going to get more positive publicity from a player like that than anything else you do, and it just makes zero sense. But I don't want to get into a political discussion, Coach.
You know what, Paul? It's probably best that neither one of us that we don't get into that. But I'm just going to say that I wholeheartedly agree with you. And you can have all you can be commercials on TV, but one athlete playing in the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, or the NHL is gonna provide you with more positive advertising than anything else that the armed services or the service academies can put forth. And to be honest with you, realistically, if they allowed players to pursue professional opportunities and gave them a certain window to get to the major leagues, trust me, out of 100 football players, 100 hockey players, 100 basketball players, 100 baseball players, and I use those sports because there's professional entities, you know, with all those sports, major league, there's money, there's agents, there's drafts, there's free agency. Right. But I mean, if you took 400, you would be lucky. Hey, all these kids would have the dream of being not having to give their dream up of being a major league player in their sport. But the reality of it is, you would be lucky to have one or two that would actually get a sniff in the big leagues of whatever sport. You know, we had Brad Roberts, who was an all-everything fullback for us a year ago and broke all the rushing records. And he went away and went to NFL camps, and he wasn't good enough. You know, it's just a different level. College and pro, it's a different level. And you know what makes you a great college player, especially at a service academy, might not be the fact that you're a great player in terms of being naturally gifted. You might be just great in the fact that you were a great puzzle piece in with another. You know, you were a good player who was a great puzzle piece in a group that collectively got great. And when we've had some great teams here. We've missed the Frozen Four by one goal three times, and right. at a service academy. It was just unheard of. And but we didn't do that with a team full of great players. We did that with a team full of good to very good players that became great collectively. When you look at how precisely our systems are in hockey, basketball plays that Princeton system. It's intricate. Football has the triple option. I mean, it is a big time team orientated system. It's not individually gifted player driven. It's the collective, and you know that's how we succeed here. Hey, there's a reason why. Hey, when is my team's always playing their best hockey, guys? When is it? It's an easy answer. When are they always playing their best hockey?
End of the season.
Playoff time.
And the reason for that is because it takes that long for a bunch of individuals to become a team and become collectively great. It doesn't happen. You know, Michigan, Minnesota, you know, the Power Five schools, they get these kids in that are great individual players. They're going to be one and duns, two and duns, three and duns, and they can throw them out early in the year, and they're going to win a lot of games just because they have more talent. And but the key for those schools are the coaches that can take that great talent and mold them into a great team. Then those are the ones that have a great chance of they are contending for the national title, but have a great chance of winning the national title. They've got the great talent and they become great collectively. And it's not easy to do. It's complicated, and not everybody can navigate that. You know, I think my staff does a real. I think my staff. I'm proud of them. They do a fantastic job in regards to building teams.
Yeah, totally going to agree with you on that one. I do want to ask you one more about Luke, and then we'll jump into what's going on now. But I watched him play, Coach, and I've seen a lot of players transition. And boy, oh boy, he transitioned so nicely. And you know, playing defense is a tough spot. He told me last night, he said, you know, the big difference between college and pro is in the college level, if you make a little bit of a mistake, you can sometimes recover. But he said, if you make a mistake or make a wrong read in the pros, it's in the back of your net before you can say, how do you do?
Yeah, I mean, but keep in mind, college hockey's older and deeper than it's ever been right now. We're producing over a third of the players for the NHL. So there are a lot of players in college hockey that are American League level players right now. I mean, Minnesota had two defensemen that went right to the NHL from the Frozen Four last year and didn't miss a beat. Faber went right into the Wild lineup and didn't just... He wasn't like their number six guy. He was a top four guy. So, like, when you look at, hey, a lot of teams, guys, like, I don't know. The American League is AAA for the NHL. But, like, I would say most of the college teams are probably older than the majority of the American League teams, because American League has a bunch of young prospects, and a lot of them went from major, junior, or the European leagues, or came from college. But hey, Luke Rowe's a 24-25 year old man. I mean, he's played a lot of hockey, and he's played a lot of high level hockey at the collegiate level.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, go ahead, jump in with your
You know, I like I said, when you guys, when you were getting the coach on, we were, I was just singing the praises of your protege there, Coach Derek Schooley, with a big win for his program in the first round of the Atlantic Hockey Tournament playoffs. You know, I'm sure that you enjoyed having the weekend off to watch some of those games and some of the other things going on in college hockey. Before we get into the end of your season, you know, that's kind of like a proud father kind of thing, no?
Well, and to be honest with you, Paul, it didn't surprise me one bit. First of all, Derek can coach. Right? Like, he can flat out coach. He's a talented coach. He's proven that over the years. And the other thing is, keep in mind, who did Robert Morris play the last weekend of the season?
You guys.
Played the Air Force Falcons. And let me tell you, like, that was like a freaking root canal. There was nothing easy about it. Nothing easy about it. And the biggest thing with Derek's team and what's making them a dangerous animal in the playoffs is the dangerous animals in the playoffs are the teams that don't beat themselves. And we played them two nights. Do you know how many 2-on-1s or 3-on-2? You know how many outnumbered situations we had against them in two nights in that series at the end of the year? Do you know how many we had?
No idea.
Yes.
Two?
I'm going to say less than five.
How about zero?
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
He didn't give us one outnumbered situation. Now, Schwartz, with his great legs, chipped a couple pucks off guys past them and won foot races and got in on breakaways and scored. But it wasn't because they had people out of position.
Right.
No, and so they didn't give up. They didn't give us one outnumbered rush. They were ahead of us 1-0 on Saturday, and their goalies, both their goalies, are really good. And and actually, we played against Beauvoir, their second guy. And I go, it didn't look like early in the game, like, honest to God, it's one of those nights where you go, geez, we might not score on this guy. You know, he's stopping everything. Robert Morris isn't giving us any numbers on our attack. Their penalty killing was ready for our power play. We got a lot of shots, but they kept us to the perimeter. They cleared the rebounds. They got people out of the way so the goalie could see all the shots. Like, I mean, they played a terrific road series. So we end up we score a shorthanded goal, just a balls out, a shorthanded effort between Schwartz and Adams to tie the game. And then we come up with a big power play goal halfway through the third, and that ended up being the game winner. But, like, right now, this time of year, a lot, you know, guys, I'm just telling you, the teams that win this time of year, yeah, you got to make some plays, you got to score some goals, but it gets down to the teams. Everybody's kind of comparable. Everybody is pretty good at this time of the year. It gets down to the teams that make the least amount of mistakes, teams that are playing winning hockey. And Derek's team, they didn't win here, but they played winning hockey, and they didn't beat themselves. They forced us to beat them. And in the Bentley series, they mounted a lead 3-1. Bentley battled back and got into it, but then Derek's team settled down and played a solid overtime period, and then you're kind of waiting, who's going to blink? And their goalie, I don't know, did you guys see the goal in overtime?
I did not, no. I don't know if Paul did.
Oh, their goalie retrieves a puck behind the net, and he's looking at his forehand, and he's got a defenseman wide open, and for whatever reason, he decides to do a misdirection backhand pass back against the grain below the goal line. Throws it back blindly right to a Robert Morris player who threw it in the net with 10 seconds left. So, you know, did Bentley lose to Robert Morris, or did they beat themselves? And that's the thing that we're talking about with our group this week, playing against a very well-coached Eric Lang AIC team that's used to having success in the playoffs. They're used to winning. Like, our biggest thing is, hey, like, let's make sure that we play winning hockey. Let's make sure that we're not making bad decisions and doing things that will cause us to beat ourselves.
Coach, were you guys as a staff, as we go back to, that we talk about your team here, you guys were on a little bit of a losing streak going into that Saturday night game at RIT. Were you guys a little nervous at that point? Like, are we going to throw this away now after the season we've had to this point? And because the conference is just so tight.
Well, it for one thing, it doesn't take much to go on to start to spiral. Everybody's pretty good. It's so hard to mount a 2-3-4 game winning streak, and it's not that hard to get a 2-3-4 game losing streak. And keep in mind that when we lost those games, we lost to Sacred Heart, we lost two to Holy Cross, we lost to RIT. Like, these are good teams. And other than Friday at RIT, where they handed us our head, all the other games were pretty much one-goal games and decided with an empty net. So they were, you know, they were close games that, and we needed to find a way to get on the good end of those again. And there's no question, when you look at that last night, hey, we ended up finishing in fourth place, and we got the bye. AIC is finished 2 points behind us. You get 3 points every game. Well, if we win a game at Holy Cross, Holy Cross finished in second place, 2 points ahead of us. If we would have beat them, if we would have won one of those games, we finished in second place.
Yeah.
If we lose that game at RIT, we finish in fifth or sixth, and we're either hosting a first round game, or we're on the road playing at AIC. That's how tight it was. A win at RIT would have got us, when it's all said and done, we'd have finished in second place. A loss in that Saturday game, despite the fact we won two against Robert Morris, we would have finished in fifth or sixth. How tight is that?
Yeah. Oh, it's insane.
Yeah, that's incredibly tight. So that being said, you do get a home series now. How big is that, not only for your team, but for your fan base, the Falcon crazies that love to see you play at home?
Well, you're just feeding layups to me right now. I mean, obviously,
well, we try.
You know, this is good. The only people that this is not ideal for is AIC. They have to get on a plane. They got to fly out here. But everybody else benefits from it. We're playing at home. Our fans. Also, the league is going to benefit, because trust me, we're going to draw thousands of more fans than we would have drawn in Springfield. And like I said, there's nothing but good about it for everybody except Eric Lang and his boys. But on their part, they're going to come out and they're going to play in a great environment. And Eric's a great guy, great coach. They got a bunch of good kids and good players. And who doesn't want to play in front of crowds, whether they're home partisan crowds or they're away crowds? You want to play in front of people. That's what makes it fun. Winning at RIT on Saturday night, the most fun is because you want to talk about crazy student section. They've got one, and they're fantastic. And, overcoming a great RIT team and also overcoming their great student section was fun, and it was gratifying. And so, it's good. We haven't been at home since the COVID year in the playoffs. We played Mercyhurst. We swept them in the first round. We went to RIT. And we were playing really good hockey at that time, really good, the best hockey of the year for us. We had just beaten RIT at RIT 2 weeks before. They were either the champion or second place team at the time. And we went in there, and I remember we're at the Marriott by the Rochester Airport, and all of a sudden we got the phone call that they were shutting the season down.
That was something. So let me ask you this, and kind of a follow-up to that. You played this series, and obviously the goal is to come out on top and don't end your season here. As you look forward, how good is your team, and how good is the whole conference? I mean, you look at RIT's numbers, I think they should be an at-large qualifier if they don't win the whole thing.
Well, they're not going to be. But but they're an awfully good team. They're an awfully good team. And Holy Cross, like there's just a lot of good teams right now. And I, you know, I can't speak for anything other than like college hockey. There's not a bad, horrible team in college hockey. There just isn't. I mean, you would have to really screw it up with all the players that are available right now. And not so much players that can make a difference, but players that can play, that you can coach, that can skate, that can defend. I mean, everybody should be competitive right now with all those fifth-year seniors. There's 4 years of that cycle and all those players that have been available. There's more players that can play at the Division I level than there are lockers available. So, Derek Schooley beating Bentley, the number 11 team beating the number 16, it wasn't a fluke. It was an upset, but it wasn't a fluke. And when you look at all the playoffs for all the conferences, if the lower seed wins, none of them will be a fluke. There were years where it would be a fluke. I mean, there were years in our early years in Atlantic hockey when we were winning championships that the bottom three teams had a better chance of hitting the Powerball than beating us. And that's just not the case anymore.
All right. So as we sit here going into this series, first of all, I assume the week off has allowed everybody to be healthy, no?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, guys were necked up a little bit. We weren't in horrible shape before. But, yeah, I mean, and it's not just physically, Paul. I think it's more mentally than physically at this juncture. And we're going to be playing without our heart and soul, our best defenseman, Roe. Well, AIC is going to be playing without their best defenseman and their heart and soul, Kramer. So we both lost our best defenseman for this series. So it is what it is. It's a good matchup, and it's going to be interesting. Whoever wins it is going to deserve it, and we'll have earned the right to advance. And we played two games here, and we had the tiebreaker over them because I think we scored a goal or two more in the two games, and I know one of them was an empty netter, but basically we won on Friday and they won on Saturday. Simple as that. And we're going to be reenacting that this Friday and Saturday, and there's a good chance of him on Sunday as well.
Well, now, you know, as I've gone through this, I hear, you know, a lot of people talk about different coaches and reputations and things. Eric Lang doesn't get nearly enough credit for as good a coach as he is, does he?
I'm surprised he's still at AIC, to be honest with you. Nothing against AIC. But with the job that he's done there, I'm just surprised that somebody hasn't come in and thrown some money at him and stolen him away. I think he's a terrific coach. I know he's a terrific coach, but what a lot of people may not know is he's a terrific guy. He's a terrific human being. I really enjoy him. He's good people.
Coach, I'm going to jump back to my interview this afternoon with your brother. I said, you know, when you look at the records and the longevity, you guys have, geez, well over 800 wins between the two of you. I asked him, I said, what's the secret to longevity and coaching in NCAA hockey? And he simply told me, have a really good year in your contract year.
Well, I mean, there's obviously, you have to have a proficient amount of success. Like you have to perform at a proficient level. Like my brother's a really good operator. He's a good, really good hockey man. He knows what he's doing. He also understands he graduated from Bemidji State. He knows that he has a culture there. He knows what kind of kids fit the culture of Bemidji State. And he's does an outstanding job at what he does. He's out. I think, to be honest with you, if he was at one of the power schools, he would have a couple pocketfuls of national championships right now. That's you know, and it's not because he's my little brother, because he can be a massive pain in the ass sometimes, but he's a one hell of a good coach, hockey man, and operator, no question about it. And anybody that knows anything about college hockey will tell you that.
I don't even know how to. I mean, I have a little brother too, and you know, I'm just not even going to go there. So, you know, is the buzz starting to build on campus, or was it, you know, all week long as you guys got that first round series or that quarterfinal series at home?
Well, we've already sold 1,300 seats, 1,300 tickets, and it's only Monday. We still got four more days to sell tickets, and that's not counting the cadets that are all going to be on campus this weekend. So I would be shocked if we're already assured of having a really good crowd, and I would be shocked if it's not a couple full houses, to be honest with you.
Coach, I always appreciate having you on. It was great to connect with Tom today as well. Good luck this weekend, and let's see you move on and get to the NCAA tournament, okay?
Well, it'd be a lot of fun. That's the goal, and always a pleasure to be on with you guys. You guys are fun. You're good hockey men as well, and I enjoy my time on your show.
Appreciate it. That's head coach from Air Force Academy, Frank Ceratori, joining us, and I'll be right back to visit with the other Ceratori in just a few minutes.
Time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.tv. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.tv.
You talk about the best of Las Vegas, you're talking about the best of the best. So when you're at Jesse Ray's Barbecue and you're a three-time winner of the Best of Las Vegas Award, it speaks for itself. At 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, come and savor our People's Choice Award-winning barbecue ribs. Or maybe just come in and pick up a bottle of our best in Las Vegas barbecue sauce to take home. Open 7 days a week. You can order online at jessereysbarbecue.com. And for an occasion that will be remembered for a long time, call us for all of your catering projects at Jesse Ray's Barbecue today.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
Congratulations,
visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com. From the NCHC.TV studios, this is ITHSW Podcast's College Hockey Coast to Coast.
Indeed it is, College Hockey Coast to Coast. Scott Strandy with you tonight from Palm Springs, California. My co-host, as always, from the big, beautiful Palatial Estate, which is located on Long Island, New York. Paul Hornstein is with me. Paul, as usual, the coach has a lot to say. What did you take away from it as I get ready to cue up his brother, Tom Serratore?
Well, just you feel the excitement. He's ready to go. I'm sure his players are ready to go, too, this weekend. The first home playoff series in 4 or 5 years for them. And you know, it's going to be a packed house, and the cadets are going to be rocking and rolling, and it'll be very interesting to see how that goes. I mean, you know, you're sitting there and you're a couple of wins away
From a tournament bid.
I mean, you know, it's what you're trying for, right? That's the advantage of being in a conference. The top six teams in this league were just completely even. And as we know, Robert Morris earned a trip to Rochester, New York, in the Polisseni Center to take on
nice, top good ranked one.
RIT. Robert Morris is going to play with absolutely nothing to lose. You want to talk about house money?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Boy, oh, boy. You are correct, my friend.
No, good for them. Good for Air Force and those other matchups. You know, again, Holy Cross and Canisius. And you have Niagara, Sacred Heart. Well, no, as Frank said, all those teams in that league this year finished, you know, literally within a point or two of each other outside of RIT.
The word is parity. You're going to hear it again here in just a little bit. But the word is certainly parity, and I think Coach said it best. There are no easy games. There are no weak teams. So these people that keep saying that there's problems with people's schedules and soft teams and not playing hard enough games, that is a bunch of hogwash. Everybody tells you that. If you're believing that, then you're not looking very close at college hockey and the teams that are playing it. I also just want to throw this out. Luke Rowe told me the Air Force is going to be just fine without him this weekend, and he expects them to be in the national tournament. So that's directly from Luke. He says, we're going to go out and win this thing, and it's sad. It really is that he wasn't able to participate in it after playing as hard as he has for as long as he has. And, you know, I don't want to get into that now because we don't really have time. But, he's going to make the most of his opportunity right now. And he is going to make the Air Force proud for certain. So, okay. This afternoon, while you were working, I had a chance to visit with one Tom Serratore, the head coach from Bemidji State University. So, here we go. Let's cue up Tom and hear what the other Serratore has to say about his team going into the playoffs, this time in the CCHA.
All right. Welcome back in to College Hockey Coast to Coast. Scott Strandy with you. And it's my pleasure to introduce the head coach at Bemidji State University, Tom Serratore. Tom, how are you? How are things up in Bemidji? And are you ready for Ferris State this weekend?
Well, again, I don't know. The playoffs, it's always the toughest. This is the toughest week of the year. And the first round, it's always a battle. It's always a grind for everybody. And we have our hands full. And we're just trying to get prepared for Ferris State right now. We did play them 3 weeks ago, but, you know, a lot of emotion goes into the regular season. And now we got to turn the page. And, again, you have to have all your focus and all your attention towards Ferris State and the playoffs.
Coach, the CCHA this year has been a battle from start to finish. I don't know if it's parity or what it is. What do you say about the CCHA this season?
It's called parity. You hit it on the head. I mean, there's just a fine line between everybody. Just razor thin. And right, probably five teams could have won this championship. And we just happened to win a few games at the end right there that put us over the top. But, it was a battle all the way to the end. And a couple weeks ago, I think there was like I think there might have been 3 points difference to 4 points difference between six teams. And again, that just tells you again the parity and how tight our league was this year.
You know, coming off of the COVID years, guys had some extra time, and maybe some guys were held down in juniors. What were your thoughts on college hockey after COVID?
Well, I mean, it's just interesting because you got 5 years of having eligibility for a fifth year. So that's interesting in itself. And I think that really hurt a lot of kids coming into college hockey. I think it hurts incoming freshmen. There's no question about that. So, and that was the unknown. There were so many moving parts from COVID, and it took us all a while to adapt to obviously the new changes, and that became the new normal. And after next year, it's going to be back to the way it was. So, interesting, very interesting. And again, like I said, a lot of moving parts.
Tell us a little bit about Beaver hockey, because I grew up not far from you, about 45 miles down Highway 2. But so I know about it, but our listeners out here in the West maybe don't understand the tradition that is Bemidji State University hockey.
I don't know what you want me to say, but I mean, I'm a proud BSU alum, and I played here back in the 80s. And we've got a great hockey program, and Northern Minnesota, I mean, is the fabric and culture of Northern Minnesota is hockey. And you take a look at when Coach Peters took over the program in 1966, we built the John Glass Fieldhouse, which at that particular time was, it was a new building, and it was one of the nicer buildings in the country. And, in the old NAIA days, which would be Division II and Division III, and Bob Peters built a powerhouse. He built a powerhouse with 13 national championships at the small college level. I mean, he was the first coach to win 700 games at one institution. He had 700 wins here. I mean, Bob Peters left North Dakota as the head coach in 1966 to become the coach at Bemidji State. So, he saw something in Bemidji. He wanted to come. He wanted to start something from scratch. And he built whatever we have today, it's all because of Coach Peters. He was the main architect. And since then, we've had our share of success, and it's been a lot of fun. And then we went, in the late 90s, then we went Division I, and that's been exciting. That's been an exciting run in itself.
I want to ask you a little bit more about your team in a minute, but we also cover the Pacific Division of the American Hockey League, and I run into two former Beavers a lot, Brad Hunt and Zach Whitecloud. And I had a chance to see Zach up at the Winter Classic, and I asked him a little bit about his time at Bemidji, and he speaks so fondly of not only the community, but the program and the coaching he got there. So can you comment on just those two for me, Brad Hunt and Zach Whitecloud?
Well, they're both high character people, and not only great hockey players. First line center, and then we got this freshman defenseman who had like 32 points that year, and he was actually, I don't want to use the word dominant because that's not the right term, but he was playing veteran hockey. He looked like a junior out there, and that was Brad Hunt. And Brad Hunt had one heck of a, I mean, he's still playing pro hockey, and Brad's probably 36 years old, 35, 36 years old, so he's had a heck of a run. So and Brad's just high character, just total high character, works hard, great teammate, and could play the game. And had a few attributes that were so unique and so special, and one of them was he had an NHL shot at a young age. I mean, when he was a freshman sophomore, I mean, he was shooting the puck in probably the mid to high 90s, and I know he won the American Hockey League hardest shot competition in the American Hockey League All-Star Game. So just a great guy, and just so coachable. And Whitey was no different. You know, Whitey came from the Manitoba Junior League, and what a great player he was when he came to Bemidji State. And, nobody thought that Zach was going to sign after 2 years, but when he came in, he was comfortable, and he fit in right away, and he looked like an experienced defenseman. I'll never forget the first series. We're playing Bowling Green, and he's running our top power play. He's got good size. He's a right-shot defenseman. A lot of poise. The game was slow for him right away, and he just kept getting better and better. And that's why he's playing a lot of hockey and eating a lot of minutes for Vegas right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's jump to this year's team. What makes this team special? And, you know, I saw you shut out a really good Minnesota State team two nights in a row to kind of seal the CCHA regular season. What's the secret? What's the secret ingredient that makes this team special?
Well, I don't know if there's any secret ingredient. Our guys are playing really well. I think we're playing well collectively right now, and I think that's probably the best way of putting it. And there's a lot of sacrifice in our game right now. We're doing a lot of good things that we probably weren't doing early in the year. And, you know, you have to we're playing more of an honest game. And it's just, you know, and it's helping our success right now. We've got a lot of momentum. I think once you start having success, you realize the reason you're having success and you want to keep it going and you do a lot of the right things. And I think it's over the course of the last, I think we're unbeaten in our last nine. I think it's our last nine league games. So that's a testament to the guys right there. But, you know, we're giving up only, you know, a little over 1 5-on-5 goal a game. We're scoring close to 4 goals a game over that time span, too. So if you do a lot of things well, you're going to generate offense and you're also going to play good defense. And a lot of it is just making sure that you're spending a minimal amount of time in your zone. And I think our guys are just doing a lot of good things collectively, like I mentioned. And, you know, whether they're managing the puck well, I think we got a nice physical component to our game right now. We're cycling well. You know, we're just doing a lot of, you know what, we're taking short shifts. I mean, there's just a lot of things that play into it. And you hope that they keep playing that way, and we're having success. So hopefully, again, that continues on. But again, it's a new season right now. Everybody's 0-0, and that's going to be the next. This could be the next challenge for us.
Tom, when you look at the playoffs and the way things work, you're not down to one and done yet, but you kind of are because the NCAA tournament. And I know being a Minnesota guy myself, and you are as well, as
going to advance to the NCAA tournament, how far they go. Let's just, you know, whoever gets to the NCAA tournament, I hope it's the Beavs. They got to worry about the first game right there, but let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Okay, we won't do that. I want to ask you a little bit about growing up in Minnesota and giving our listeners, when I started this company, Tom, 8 years ago, I said, I'm doing it to help try to grow the game. And your brother was gracious enough to jump on with me, Quinn. Minnesota and what hockey means and the terms that you guys have a number of
in the state of Minnesota, you know, St. Cloud, Minnesota, Bemidji, Minnesota State, Mankato, and Duluth. I mean, all great range, great, you know, great fan bases. And again, we all know, again, I said it earlier, that again, hockey's part of the fabric and the culture of Minnesota, and especially northern Minnesota. And it just shows with the facilities that we have, the fan bases, the alumni base, the excitement and the enthusiasm in our state over these teams. And we are the state of hockey for a reason, because people love the sport of hockey. They love college hockey. They love pro hockey. They love high school hockey. They just love hockey, period. And we're fortunate enough, again, to be in a state that, again, people are educated. They're very educated on the game, and they love the game.
Okay, so when I talk about the Saratori name, both you and Frank have amassed over 800 college hockey wins. So the obvious question is, what's the secret to longevity in coaching? Because, you know, there's a coaching carousel that usually goes around, especially in NCAA programs. What's the secret to the longevity of the Saratories?
Having a good year the last year your contract helps, that's for sure.
Nice. I didn't know that was coming, but yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. So do you guys have any brotherly love competitions between you and Frank? He told me that you guys gathered I think over the holidays down in St. Paul and have a little chat over the Christmas holidays. But is there anything pushing you two against each other, or is it he's got his program, you got yours?
He's got his, I got mine. There's not, and we obviously follow each other. We don't talk a lot during the season. But there'll be a text here and a text there. But I'm his biggest fan. I think I'm his biggest fan. He's my biggest fan, and we root for each other. This is a tough business we're in, and we know it's a tough business. And we played against each other. I mean, we were in the same league early in the, from like 2002 to probably 2008. So we played a lot against each other at that particular time, and then we stopped until my son was playing for him. When my son was playing for him, we did a home and home, which was great. But we follow each other. I know he was watching our games last weekend on Flo when he had a bye last weekend. So we tracked each other, but it's not. There is no competition, and I don't think there's a lot of competition between any of the 64 teams. You just got to worry about the team you're playing that particular night or that particular weekend. And I think we all kind of look at that and don't get too far ahead of ourselves because it's a tough racket we're in.
All right, final ones for you. I look at everything, and obviously I want to see growth in the game and I want to see the growth of the tournament. Do you feel in your heart that you need to see that NCAA hockey needs to see a few more teams in the tournament, or are you good with 16?
I'm fine with 60. I mean, we have 64 teams. I mean, I'm fine with it. I don't know. We're going to push 20. Basically, it's 25% of our body gets in the NCAA tournament. So I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if they want to increase it, I'm not going to say no, that's for sure. But again, I'm at peace with it. I mean, we went from 12 to 16 X amount of years back. I thought that was a testament to the growth of the game. And that was nice to see, but I don't know where they're at. And again, I don't really get too far ahead of myself. We have 25% of our body, and I'm fine with that. If they wanted to add more, it is what it is. I mean, there's no question. I mean, the parity of college hockey, it doesn't matter if the 50th team in the pairwise is playing the 10th. It's going to be a ball game. And there's just a fine line between everybody. And it's a hard sport. It's a hard game to predict who's going to win the games. And I just did an interview with a guy a little bit ago, and we were talking about the parity in our sport. And I go, it's not like Alabama. When Alabama's playing in football, they're going to win. Are they going to have a good game and win by 40? An average game, win by 30, or a tough game and win by 20? Ahead of time, Alabama's going to win. You just don't know by how much. Where in college hockey, you might say, okay, this team is favored. But again, you never know because, again, there's so many variables, Scott. One is you got a goalie. Number two, you might have one team who's older, has more experience than the other team. Even though they might be younger and more talented, the other team might have some experience and they got some savviness. And, there's just so many things that play into it. And that's why I think our sport is the greatest collegiate sport there is.
All right, final one for you. I know you played Arizona State last year. I know you played some other independents. Is there a place, Tom, for independents, or do they need to find a conference like Arizona State did in order to survive this?
I don't know. It's a hard question because we were one of those independents at one time too, and it's just hard. A lot of it's predicated, I think, on geographic location. I think that's number one, but. I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice to have more growth, and it'd be nice to maybe we need another league. I haven't really thought too much about it, but it's a grind. I've been there, and it's not easy. And I have so much respect for these programs who are independent. They're grinding it out, and they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job, and I think the best thing you can do is just kind of look at. Geography, like we just took Augustana because they're building a new rink. And to me, they're like a Minnesota-based school. I mean, they're just right on the border. They're a border of Minnesota. So for us, it was a no-brainer to take Augustana. I mean, they're 3 hours from the Twin Cities. I mean, it's only 5.5 hours to Bemidji from Sioux Falls. So I think you have to look at a lot of those things too. But it's not easy because now you take a look at the leagues too. A lot of us have, or you had to look at the numbers and how many more numbers do you want to add? So I just think, again, the powers that be got to figure out probably what's best for college hockey and these ambassadors and these gurus. We got to figure some things out. But it would sure be nice to see our game grow, that's for sure, even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, I appreciate your time. Hopefully we can add a few more teams to our coverage area. We have 10 now, and I'm thinking Bemidji State, St. Cloud, and Mankato would be three pretty good ones to add next year. So who knows? Maybe you'll be seeing a lot more of me.
All right, pal. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend against Ferris State.
All right, Scott. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, that's a head coach from Bemidji State University, Tom Ceratori, the brother of Frank Ceratori, who will be our guest in just a little bit. We'll be right back with another segment of College Hockey Coast to Coast.
Yeah, he jumped in a little.
We got that back.
We flipped him. Flipped him. If somebody catches that, good for him. Good for them.
It's all right.
They can tell me that I got it backwards. But
no,
anyway.
We're always backwards.
Yeah. So your thoughts on hearing Tom Ceratori in depth for a little while?
Oh, God, it was word for word.
Word for word of what?
I wouldn't have been able to tell you whether I was listening to Tom or Frank, to be honest.
They are very similar.
Oh my God.
Their mannerisms, the ability to speak, let me give you a little geography lesson again, Paul.
Well, all right. I was just going to say, it's just a great spot. I wish the one day of the week I couldn't join you for the time you had scheduled, but it is what it is. And I'm very thankful that the coach came on, and hopefully we'll get him back on soon.
Okay, so here's your geography lesson for the night. They're from Coleraine, which is a quote-unquote suburb of Grand Rapids, about 10 right. miles apart.
Grand Rapids is not big. Wait, Michigan?
Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
Oh, and there's more than one?
That would be the home of one Don Lucia.
There's more than one Grand Rapids.
Not in Minnesota. There's just one.
Oh, wow. I'm just
one Grand Rapids, one Coleraine.
Is that anywhere near La Quinta?
No. There's no La Quinta in Minnesota, for God's sake.
I don't know.
Anyway, so they used to have these battles up there Grand Rapids, Coleraine, it's on the Iron Range, just close to Hibbing and all of that, Eveleth. But anyway,
right.
They would have real battles between Greenway High School of Coleraine and Grand Rapids High School of, obviously, Grand Rapids. But
right.
Imagine, it's very similar to the Warroad-Rozo theory. I think Coleraine and Grand Rapids are actually closer together. But
right.
So the kids knew each other, all summer long they'd hang out and do stuff. And then
right.
they get into the hockey season, and it was like this huge battle. A lot like Warroad-Rozo, only this was, about 90 to 120 miles southeast of those cities and the border. And it was a real battle. So when you see...
Are they bigger or smaller?
Than what?
Warroad and Rozo.
Warroad and Rozo are smaller than Coleraine and Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Not by a lot, but there's some, yeah. And okay. and it's industries, Polaris is in Rozo, and Marvin Windows is in Warroad. So,
right.
That's where a lot of the people come from that live there and work there.
Right.
But anyway, it was just funny when you hear these two talk and you realize what they've accomplished. I mean, how many did you tell me today? 800 and how many wins?
I don't know,
they
like
have
805 or something like that, 800. And...
It's ridiculous, anyway,
yeah.
Whatever that number is.
It's a lot.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And from this little community that these two would come out, and it's not only about the wins, it's about the longevity. They've stayed put for the most part. Tom at Bemidji State since 2001, I think, so like 23 years.
Yeah.
And Frank at Air Force for God knows how long.
Yeah.
And that stability is what brings these teams respect and to tournament bids. And I think it would be so cool if they would both get AQs.
Wow.
I just think that would be so cool. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but if there was a year it was going to happen, Paul, it could be this year.
Well,
it really could.
I know a bunch of people that would love that.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's an opportunity. We thank Tom for joining us, and obviously Frank, you know, he's the best. I text him, I say, I'm running late, can you go 15 minutes late? He goes, of course I can. So, yeah, you know, I mean, that's just means so much. And boy, talk about great hockey minds. They have it on the ice, off the ice, and they have a perspective like no other. I mean, they know exactly what everything means at every time.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, and you learn stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You learn stuff, and that's pretty much the best thing you can say. I mean, you know, they give you a different perspective, and you know, I as much as I've been following the game, you know, most of my life, I still have plenty to learn. I'm not going to sit here and say I know more about the game than them. So I look forward to learning when we have any of the coaches on, to be honest.
Well, and the beauty of it too, Paul, is that they're producing professional hockey players. I listed, you know, Matt Reed,
Zach Whitecloud.
Brad Hunt, Zach Whitecloud. They're producing players in Bemidji, and now Frank has produced one. Yeah. And sad to hear that whatever it was is gone now, and Luke is probably the last one do that. But
again,
goodness, he's you know, between him and Colin Bielik, they're making both of the Army and Air Force academies very, very proud.
Yep, absolutely, 100%.
All right, take it away, my friend.
From the NCHC.TV studios, this has been College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, where our food can be summed up in one word, perfection. Liberty University, strengthen your faith in your game at the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast, and liberty.edu. The Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Lunch, dinner, or your next catered event at thespaghettishack.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, where the action is, from the Atlantic to the Pacific and around the world. And by FedEx, deliveries made easy no matter where you are. The official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. College Hockey Coast to Coast and all of the Ice Time Hockey West podcasts are live every week on the Podbean app or for download on your favorite podcast platform by searching and subscribing at ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. It's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. If you like what you hear, tell a friend or leave a positive review. College Hockey Coast to Coast, part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. Again, once again, we'll say thank you to the Saratori brothers, Tom from the Bemidji State University, and of course, Frank from the Air Force Academy for joining us tonight. It's a double dose of Saratori on Monday night. College Hockey Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.
Good night.